technology, and the fear of being left behind. The research team ferociously debated whether this topic merited its own chapter. "There must be a technology chapter," said Scott Jones. "We're bombarded by the importance of technology these days at the business school. If we don't address it, we'll leave a huge hole in the book." "But it seems to me," countered Brian Larson, "that our technology finding is just a special case of disciplined action, and it belongs in the previous chapter. Disciplined action means staying within the three circles, and that's the essence of our technology finding." "True, but it is a very special case," pointed out Scott Cederberg. "Every one of the companies became extreme pioneers in the application of technology long before the rest of the world became technology-obsessed. But compared to other findings like Level 5, the Hedgehog concept, and First Who, technology feels like a much smaller issue," retorted Amber Young. "I agree with Brian. Technology is important, but as a subset of discipline or perhaps the flywheel." We argued throughout the summer. Then Chris Jones, in her typically quiet and thoughtful way, asked a key question. "Why did the good-to-great companies maintain such a balanced perspective on technology, when most companies became reactionary, lurching and running about like Chicken Little, as we're seeing with the Internet?" "Why, indeed?" Chris's question led us to an essential difference between great companies and good companies, a difference that ultimately tipped the balance in favor of including this chapter. If you had the opportunity to sit down and read all 2,000-plus pages of transcripts from the Good to Great interviews, you'd be struck by the utter absence of talk about competitive strategy. Yes, they did talk about strategy, and they did talk about performance, and they did talk about becoming the best, and they even talked about winning. But they never talked in reactionary terms and never defined their strategies principally in response to what others were doing. They talked in terms of what they were trying to create and how they were trying to improve relative to an absolute standard of excellence. When we asked George Harvey to describe his motivation for bringing change to Pitney Bowes in the 1980s, he said, "I've always wanted to see Pitney Bowes as a great company. Let's start with that, all right? Let's just start there. That's a given that needs no justification or explanation. We're not there today. We won't be there tomorrow. There is always so much more to create for greatness in an ever-changing world." Or as Wayne Sanders summed up about the ethos that came to typify the inner workings of Kimberly-Clark, "We're just never satisfied. We can be delighted, but never satisfied."